Welcome to the Berkeley Blues Podcast, a show dedicated to our fantasy football league as we continue our journey to obtain the coveted Burgundy jacket. I'm Mackenzie Smith, joined tonight by Hayden Smith. No relation. We've got week 10. Week 10 in the books. How's it going tonight, man?
It's going good. Long road trip back from Lake de Grey. Happy to be back in Northwest Arkansas.
Home, from Lake de Grey.
Home of the Burgundy jacket.
Yeah. Is it?
It should be.
I'm hoping that one of us brings it home, so that way it can now be the home of the Burgundy jacket.
Yeah, it's getting down to that time of year, week 10 books.
That may make its way into the podcast intro next year. Change that up a little bit. Live from Northwest Arkansas, home of the Burgundy jacket. I kind of like that. So we've got four chances to get that thing here.
Also, four equal chances to get the diggy as well.
You are not wrong.
I think we've talked about what would happen if you get the diggy and the burgundy in the same city. So we need to keep that from happening. Yeah, keep that thing in South Arkansas or Alabama.
It's like whenever you mix hot and cold air, you can just get a terrible tornado. That's probably what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So we don't need a diggy burgundy tornado anywhere around here. All right. So, this week, week 10 is gone. We are incredibly close to playoff time. So, it's a good idea. We haven't done this in a while. So, go through the standings here. Just in case you just didn't know. Just to remind everybody what their records are. So, up here in the League of Pillow Fighters, I'm ahead at 8-2, followed by you, sir, at 5-5. Hayden's at 5-5. Then tied it up with Luke at 5-5, but you're ahead by about 100 points scored. So you're technically in second place. Followed by Jay Bell, 4-6, and Colton, 3-7, who is absent tonight. Over in the West Division, apparently where all the big boys play, we've got Jay Clark, 6-4. Antoine, 6-4. Jay Clark is ahead by a little less than 100 points scored. Diggins is 5-5. Forrest is 4-6. And Logan is 4-6. So there you go.
Everything's definitely starting to tighten up. In both divisions.
And just like Jordan said earlier today, this always happens. There's a couple that are ahead, but everybody is just that middle ground just seems to go on forever. Everyone is always so close in this league, and nothing is really defined right now. Anything can still happen. This is the time. So we've got 3 weeks left of the regular season, and then playoffs begin, I'm pretty sure, if my math is right there. Yeah, I think 13 is when.
Yeah, 14, week 13 15, is the last. 16 will be the playoffs.
Yep. So it's prime time for that. So big games this week. A lot of people have big games this week. So we'll do a matchup of the week later. But at first, we're going to talk about a bonehead. We're going to do that with this.
Boy, have you lost your mind? Because I'll help you find it.
All right, so this week, our bonehead of the week goes to Jordan Clark for starting Latavius Murray over Joe Mixon. And I don't know. What do you think about this play here, Hayden?
I think you look at what Latavius Murray has been doing, and that's why you're basing starting him over Mixon. And then Mixon plays for the Bengals and had a pretty tough matchup against the against the Ravens, which obviously showed in the final score. But didn't Kamara play as well?
Yeah, he was active.
Okay, so I think it was a tough decision to who gets bonehead move of the week, but I think because you have Mixon who's going to touch the ball, and then because Kamara is going to play, that you have to start Mixon over Kamara.
Yeah, and we talked about this for a bit, and just who to give it to, and this was really one of the only things that stuck out. You know, with Latavius Murray only getting 2 points and only 12 yards. I don't even know how many five attempts at 12 yards. Wow, that's really bad. And Mixon, on the other hand, 30 attempts, 114, not even a touchdown in this game. And it's like they didn't do anything else. But
no, it was a bad matchup. But, you know, he's a touchdown away from, you know, having a really good day for any any standards for running backs.
Yeah, for going off. And what the big thing is you have just kind of built your Joe Mixon hill to die on. And the week that you choose not to die on it is when it really matters and when it really hurts you. But
yeah, like, you start Mixon, you win.
I get the rationale, though, for not doing this. I'm not saying this is just a horrible decision. You've been burned by Mixon all year. Latavius Murray's coming off a big week, and so you're just hoping and praying and throwing him in there to see what happens. But got burned pretty bad. And I would assume that you are playing Mixon going forward.
Yeah. Definitely you don't want to start Latavius Murray again. Unless Kamara gets hurt again, then he's not bad to have stashed. But also, the New Orleans just played terrible. I mean, they got beat by the Falcons.
Yeah. So I don't even know that Latavius Murray is still on his team.
No. Well, he may not be.
No, he's still there. He hasn't been dropped. All right. So yeah. So that'll do it for that. I couldn't find a real 500 IQ play this week. Nothing really stood out. Nothing. We don't have any big smarty pants this week. But maybe next week I'll get to use that drop again. I really like it. So be smart. Do something good.
No big brain time.
Yeah, more big brain time, please. So that's that. Scary Harry. I don't know if he's coming around this week. Have you heard from that guy at all?
He's been busy. I talked to him about a week ago, I guess, and he's out doing something. But
where was he last week? Vegas.
Yeah, he was in Vegas, so he's probably trying to find his way back to wherever Scary Harry calls home under some bridge. But he'll be back. Man. He's never gone for very long.
If there's anything that guy cares about, it's fantasy football and this fantasy football league for some reason. So
he is a dedicated individual to the fantasy football. There's no doubt about it.
We wish him well in his endeavors.
So you want to elaborate more on the Jordan versus Forrest matchup?
You know, I think we can do that. We can go ahead and get into our matchups from last week, previous matchup talk. No sounder for that. Since we don't have Scary Harry here to give us a quick recap. So, Forrest versus Jay Clark. Forrest took away the win 116.5 to 109. We already talked about the Latavius Murray play. Your boy, Ronald Jones. He's getting it done, man.
Yeah, I told y'all I believed he would be the guy down there in Tampa for whatever that's worth. And that was with a fumble, so he's knocking on the doorstep of 20 without that fumble. So that's solid. I'd take it on my team for sure, especially last week.
It's the air yards. 77 receiving yards is where he's getting it done. Last week, it's a good amount, too. So, that gets you a lot of points. And he had a touchdown. But, you're right. I mean, Ronald Jones, I think, can be trusted going forward. And he was put on that team to be the guy, to eventually grow into that role of, the starting back and the main back. It's just all season. It's been essentially 50-50, and when it's been 50-50 with Peyton Barber, the running game has been awful, and it's just, you know, it hasn't been worth starting either guy. And now that it's on the back of Ronald Jones, and he is just having great games. I think that you can just throw Peyton Barber away and stick with Ronald Jones.
Yeah, I think you leave him there, and unless something happens to him, you just leave him in. I mean, for Forrest, he may honestly be Forrest's RB1 because, you know, looking above it, Todd Gurley was 73 yards, 7 points. He hasn't done much of anything, and we'll see if that picks up closer to playoff time, but it may be a little too late for fantasy potential by the time that happens.
Yeah, for Gurley, I almost wanted to call that game a scratch for Gurley because it was just awful, like just an awful performance by the Rams. And then having to – whenever you have to call on Blake Bortles to get something done, you know that you're in a bad place.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, and that's where they're at. And it's just not a good place to be. Cooper Kupp, speaking of, what in the world?
I mean, that's a gut check for old Jay Clark. When you depend on Cooper Kupp to, you know, help your team win. And so far this year he has, with multiple 20-point games, a 30-point game, only been in single digits a few times, and then he drops out a zero. Zero reception, 0 yards.
Yeah, that is devastating. And not having the Patriots defense this week really hurts. And it's kind of a week where he probably was already kind of thinking that it was just going to be tough and hard to make a win happen anyway. But it was close. It was a close game.
And both of his flex spots were bright. So if he has any help with another receiver or he starts mixing, it's a whole different ball game.
I mean, if Cooper Kupp, even leaving Mixon on the bench, Cooper Kupp having just a slightly average game would have gotten Jordan the win. But the combo of Latavius Murray dropping 2 and Cooper Kupp with 0 is all you need for a big dud. But
I don't know if Forrest had any hunch to play Phillip Rivers, but after watching that game, I bet he had a big sigh of relief by not starting Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, he's still rolling the 3 quarterbacks. I like Kyler Murray lately. I think that Kyler Murray is worth a start over, I don't know, over Jameis this week, but I think that you could roll back and forth between Kyler and Jameis for the rest of the season.
Yeah, just play the better matchups, but I think Phillip Rivers was trying to throw as many picks as kids he has, and he about got there.
Still came away with 10 because of the 2 touchdowns, but more picks than touchdowns is never a good thing. It's not what you want. Another guy for Jordan that's been really down or been just lower than the beginning of the season is Darren Waller. And I'm not really sure what's up with that. I think that this week he'll be great with against Cincinnati, but the past 3 weeks have been very, very below average for Darren Waller.
Yeah, and I'd like to say it's because Oakland is just not very good, but I don't think they're that bad.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense.
No, I totally agree with you. I think that they're okay going forward. I see this stupid video here. Matthew Berry feels a little nervous about Darren Waller. You think so, Matthew Berry? He's got Cincinnati, New York Jets, Kansas City coming up. I think that those 3 matchups are looking pretty good for Darren Waller. I don't think there's anything to fear. Come
no,
fight me, Matthew
no.
Berry.
Even his playoff schedule is not bad.
Yeah. All right, let's look at a different matchup here. Another close one, Diggins versus Logan. I guess we could have looked at this for the bonehead. Is Brian Hoyer starting as your quarterback? What in the world?
Yeah, in hindsight, I was talking to Logan about this, and of course he's trying to claw back out of the Diggy Bowl race and into playoff contention. And He was telling me he was hoping that Diggins would not pick up Jared Goff. And looking back at it, I guess Brian Hoyer was the move in that certain scenario.
Did Brian Hoyer end up having a better game than Jared Goff?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not even sure where Jared Goff is, if he's on waivers or on someone's team. So I'm not sure if I can find that.
He would be, probably be on waivers. I don't think that.
Yeah, let's see.
He's on anybody's team. Yeah, Jared Goff had 243. 243 for 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a fumble for 3 points.
So Hoyer was the move between those two.
But both of them were bad. So
there's
really nothing there. But that's a tough play. I don't know who else was on waivers. I think that he might have been, Jacoby Brissett this week would have been a great play. But with him being hurt, Brian Hoyer being the next option, I understand the rationale for throwing him out there. But just a big kind of a question mark there with how he's going to do. I think there's probably some better options on waivers.
Yeah, but that's fantasy, and as our friend says, you know.
You know what he says. I meant to get some really sad music, and I was going to play it when we talked about this, but I totally forgot to do that. But David Johnson, I'm so sorry. And what?
Yeah.
Five.
I'm sure Scary Harry would have had a fun time talking about David Johnson.
5 for 2. -1.5. Points. It's tough to get so that's 3 negative plays that he had. This is not David Johnson. This is an imposter. And he looks horrible. And if you he's looked this way all season. Like, he's yet to impress me, even since the preseason when we were watching whatever game that was, sitting in the cabin before we drafted. David Johnson just seems to be running so slow. Like, he gets the ball and then he tiptoes around and then he just kind of falls into the offensive line. And it's not the same explosiveness as we've seen in the past from David Johnson. It really makes me sad.
Yep. I don't have anything really to add to that because I haven't watched a lot of Arizona football. But I do think that bringing Kenyon Drake into the mix, and with him having such a good game, I think that kind of muddies the water, like what they want to do. And then especially for all fantasy owners of David Johnson, where you get the notifications on Sleeper or ESPN saying he's 100% going to play, you have hope that he's going to come out there and be the guy and at least get, 70% of the snaps compared to Kenyon Drake. And he comes out and just doesn't only lay an egg, but gets you -1.5 points.
Yeah, so it's a sad day for anybody that has David Johnson on their fantasy team. You've got Chase Edmonds coming back this week, too, and so that's going to even muddy the waters even more with what they're going to do with their running game.
Yep, plus it's just, the Cardinals aren't, they're bottom of the barrel team, so.
Yeah, bad place to be. Is that the number one pick for Logan? I think it was.
Yeah, he let Elliott go before him.
Yeah, I remember that because he didn't know that he was going to be back. So he took David Johnson instead.
So that's coming back to bite him, especially now. And then looking underneath, Mark Ingram going up against a juicy Cincinnati defense, only, 9 points, 34 rushing yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, you can thank Lamar Jackson for that.
Yeah, which is fine by me.
He's pulling some Cam Newton stuff and taking away a lot of those rushing yards there.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Yeah, he's an incredible athlete. Big boy play, Christian Kirk, 6 receptions, 138 yards, and 3 touchdowns, 34 fantasy points for half point PPR. This is insane. Where did this guy come from?
He's Logan's been high on him all season. He's had some He's had some good games, some mediocre games, and then some, you know, one-point game later on in the season, which was mainly against better competition when he had his lower scores. But against average to bad teams, he's put up good numbers. And even against Baltimore in week two, he put up 14. So he's always been someone Kyler Murray's been wanting to throw the ball to, and he definitely did it against Tampa Bay.
Right. It looks like he's been a pretty consistent wide receiver three for the season, which is where you want to be for a flex. And this week he might have been the number one receiver this week. That's insane. Just kept getting it done. Lev Bell had a pretty for Logan. Lev Bell, 18, 34, and 1, 4 receptions for 34 yards. So 14 there. That's good for Lev Bell. I know that he's been maybe hitting the panic button on Lev Bell, and we've never really known if he's healthy, if he's playing. Is it going to be Bilal Powell? What's going on? That's good.
Excuse me. Currently, Lev Bell is listed as questionable now, as you speak of it, for parentheses ribs / knee / illness. And was a limited.
Oh, he's like the new Matt Burita.
He was a limited practice participant Thursday.
He's got everything wrong with him.
So.
Ugh. Maybe it's Bilal Powell this week. Forget that. Also, Logan's sitting the two Lions receivers. This is a pretty bold move. The Chicago defense is somewhat of a facade at this point. They're not as the name is everyone's high on the name, but they're not as good as they have been. I think it would have been okay to play one of these guys. May not have wanted to throw them both out there again like you've been doing, but so that was pretty bold. But it really ended up not really mattering for you. Still came away with the win.
I think it was more of a not scared of the Chicago defense, but Stafford was hurt, right? He has some back problems.
That's right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he was out for the game.
Yeah. So you got Driscoll at quarterback for
Driscoll,
Detroit,
yeah.
Right now, which was Florida's quarterback for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's nothing. I gotta get that. Steelers defense had a huge game against the terrible Rams. A touchdown, 3 interceptions, a fumble recovery, 4 points allowed.
Yeah, he had some very Jordan Clark-esque defense vibes going off.
Defensive plays there. Yeah. Other side here, Saquon Barkley, 1 yard.
Yeah, well, that was a. Speaking of draft picks, this was Diggins' number one draft pick, right?
Yes. Yes, it was. And Saquon.
First rounders.
Yeah. Saquon has had some great weeks. He's also had some slow weeks, and he's been hurt. And so, sometimes you get the production you want out of him, but going forward, his schedule looks great. Was he pulled out of the game? I don't know why this was so low. Against the Jets?
I didn't watch the game, but I don't show any. There's no news here that I see that says he was sat.
I watched Red Zone, but I don't remember seeing a whole lot from that. I guess that's why, because he wasn't doing anything. Daniel Jones is slinging the ball around, so that could be why. They may not have really needed to utilize the run game very much. I think it was pretty close, too.
If he can get all of his running backs going in 1 week, he's going to be hard to beat with Cook, Jacobs, Barkley, yeah. And Montgomery.
Yeah, he's got a dangerous crew there. Definitely the best running backs, or the best fantasy team full of running backs, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Here's a good play, though. O.J. Howard, welcome back to playing football. Against Arizona, they allow the most points to tight ends, and that is still being proven.
Absolutely. 4 receptions, 47 yards, and a touchdown. I think anybody in this league will take that from their tight end spot.
Yeah. So, yeah, Carson Wentz back, or Zach Ertz back, but yeah, it's ended up taking a hard loss.
Yeah, he had quite a few players on bye, which he has most of the Eagles roster. So.
Yeah, a lot of people had players on bye.
And then fan favorite, right. Popcorn Sutton.
Can't forget about him. Popcorn Sutton. He had a bye week. He's got Brandon Allen now. Should be a pretty good start. All right, next one would be yours and Luke's matchup of the week from last week. Luke came away 166 to your 148. How you feeling about it? What's going on here?
I have mixed emotions because I hit a skid where my team was not doing anything, and then the last 2 weeks I've scored, I believe, the second most points in the league, but lost because the only person to score higher than me was the person I played. So, I mean, I'm happy to score 148 if they can keep doing that, but at the same time, scoring 148 and losing, you know, it sucks.
That sucks real bad, man. You just can't catch a break.
And this also happened on a week where I'm having to play McKissick because Connor's hurt. I can't mm-hmm. play Thielen because he's hurt. And then I have three of other players that can contribute on buys, and Johnson, Hyde, and Sanu. So for piecing together this team this week, I was, you know, I thought I had it going throughout the day. But Luke's team, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, 29, Henry, 31, Michael Thomas, 21.5 points, and that's with no touchdowns. It's already getting hard to beat.
Oh, Luke is putting, I don't know how he does it, man. He puts together these teams that just end up, that really suck at first and end up so explosive. This is like the same thing that happened last year. His team looks great right now. And this is an outstanding week. Beat me last week, or the week before last, and this week just total domination from these guys. Derrick Henry is terrifying. He's so large and so fast.
Yeah, he definitely exposed the Chiefs' run defense.
Yeah, he destroyed the Chiefs. That was a tough game to watch. Did you watch that game?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaker.
Just the Chiefs keep losing, and when you watch the games, you don't understand why. It's like they get ahead and then they just lay down.
Yeah, they can't lose anymore. I think they're okay, but it's time to get some wins. Still at the top, but slowly declining in that division.
Rams defense, 20 points.
Yeah, the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So there were hardly any points scored in that game. They did get a safety, and so that helps out a lot. Two fumble recoveries and a defensive touchdown. So lots of big points from defensives this week. Pretty much in every matchup, someone has lots of points from their defense. So that's a little unusual. Usually it's just the Patriots. Yeah. Anything else here you really see?
Austin Hooper going down for a month and possibly the season.
Dude, that was, I'm glad you brought that up.
Pretty terrible news on my end, especially if I can – because I had to go to Jared Cook now, which, you know, losing the number one tight end of the league, and he's put up great numbers all year. That's a real blow there.
It sucks, dude. He has been incredible. Has been a huge asset of your team and anybody's team that has him. I mean, double digits every week, sometimes going over 20 points. That's a heartbreaker. So you're going with Jared Cook?
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the top projected, which, you know, take that for what you want on ESPN projections, but He had 10 targets in week 10, I believe. So that's, I'm just kind of trying to find someone that's actually getting the ball thrown to him. And I don't expect them to get Hooper numbers, but if they can just avoid zeros or ones and twos and threes, I'll count it as a win, because there's not much tight end selection at this point in the season, especially when you're a man with $5 in his waiver back account.
Oh, you've got that much? I didn't know you had that much.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting until everybody's under five, and then it'll be my time to shine.
you can throw up the big bucks with your $4 bid.
I don't know if I have anything else to really add. I mean, I had a lot of bright spots. I mean, we talked about Lamar Jackson being an absolute machine.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon seems to be catching his stride again. Tyreek Hill, fast. Jarvis Landry's.
Tyreek Hill is fast, correct.
Jarvis Landry's been somewhat dependable, actually, surprising enough, over the past few years.
He's the main receiver on that team.
And I believe in this 14-0 game right now, Logan, in favor of the Cleveland Browns, Jarvis Landry has a touchdown. So,
yeah, he does. Colton and I, last week or the week before, talked about it. But I think 1 week we trashed it, and last week we kind of recovered from it. But your trade for traded away Chris Carson for Melvin Gordon and Duke Johnson – or not Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde.
Yes.
The other Houston running back, which is also on your team. Mm-hmm. That trade is looking pretty good this past 2 weeks.
No, I mean, Melvin Gordon, 18.5 this week. Chris Carson, 16.5. And that was a really ugly 16.5 points watching that game.
Right.
So, which it was against the 49ers. So, 16.5, still a good score, but... No, I think Melvin Gordon's looking a lot better, and Carlos Hyde gets a lot of volume, so I feel good about the trade.
I think you should. They've really turned it around, and it just looks a lot better than the outcome whenever it first happened. But yeah, I mean, you've got to be happy about what's going on there.
I'll tell you, one nominee for bonehead of the move for myself is AJ Brown. Thought he was going to come out and catch a lot of passes, like a shootout between Kansas City, but they only threw in the ball once. And my backup plan to this was to pick up Slayton for the Giants, who absolutely went off, which I didn't do. And unfortunately, because of that, I'm not a 500 IQ play of the week.
I really like AJ Brown. He's been on my team quite a bit. I actually just looked up his transactions, and you and I have been trading him back and forth all year.
Well, he's back on waivers, so you can pick him back up. I'm chasing the points with Slayton.
He was so you added him in October, and then you dropped him the next week, and then I added him the next week, and then I dropped him the next week, and then I added him again, and then dropped him, and then you added him this past week and dropped him, and so he's going back and forth between us. Yeah. I don't know that I've actually started him, though.
Yeah. With Thielen hurt, I was reaching. And I got lucky
pretty
with
desperate.
I got lucky with Marquise Brown. I'm not going to take credit for that.
I don't know. I don't know if you did or not. He's a good play. He's a good play this week. Yeah. There you go. Next one up is Antoine versus Jay Bell. Man, we had a lot of close matchups this past week. Nobody really running away with it.
Yeah. 116-103.5. Jordan
116-103.5. Jay Bell coming away with the win. Barely.
Yeah, this
rough
one,
stuff.
This one's on not both real fun to look at, but
Aaron Rodgers, 9 points, 230 yards against Carolina. That hurts. But then you've got Aaron Jones, same exact game, 93 yards and 3 touchdowns. And so there you go. Aaron Rodgers still over 200 yards, but all the touchdowns go to Aaron Jones. So
absolutely.
Good thing he's on your team.
Sometimes when I see these Aaron Jones numbers, I contemplate whether I should have traded Adam Thielen for Aaron Jones.
At this point, that looks really bad. At the time, it probably looked fine.
But no. Coleman, 9 points. It's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman, overtime game. He was banged up towards the end. It was all Raheem Mostert towards the end of that game. But that football game was incredible. It, probably the best game of the year, I think, so far.
Yeah, it was a great game. I was talking to Logan and Colton in an Xbox party, and we watched the final fourth quarter and overtime in that. And it was very entertaining. Russell Wilson, he looks like he's blowing his MVP candidacy, and then he gets another chance and makes the most of it driving down the field.
Yeah. I watched most of the game. I think I fell asleep for a little bit in the third quarter and was watching a little bit of the fourth and was standing up, getting ready to turn the TV off and go to bed because the Seahawks were up by two touchdowns, I think. It was like 10 to 21 or by two scores. And then as I'm standing up holding the remote in my hand, the 49ers stripped that ball and ran it back for a touchdown. And I was like, just sat back down. I was like, all right, here we go. This is now a football game. So it was a lot of fun to watch.
No, it was a great game. But unfortunately, Coleman didn't play a huge role in that game for Jordan Bell, but ended up not mattering this week for him.
Yeah, he didn't really have any huge playmakers other than Aaron Jones and the Baltimore defense, the Ravens defense. Everybody else just kind of did a little bit here, a little bit there, and he was still able to score more than Antoine, who had a poor performance on defense.
What was Antoine's logic behind starting Kansas City's defense?
I guess Ryan Tannehill probably is, which Ryan Tannehill has been okay. If you're in the very first very first year of this fantasy league, I drafted Ryan Tannehill in the third round because was really pumped about him getting that starting spot for whatever reason, and I didn't know a whole lot about fantasy at that time, but yeah, Tannehill's my boy, I guess, but so I guess that's why Tannehill's been bad and getting the starting role there, throwing out Kansas City's defense. I don't know who else was on waivers, and Antoine might have been fooled by a projection here if they were projected, like if they were one of the higher projected defenses.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see it, but at the same time, I don't see it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Close game. Juju was on the bench, 5.5 points. 3 receptions and 44 yards. That sucks. His head hurt right now, and he's out of the game.
Absolutely. Amari Cooper coming in clutch and winning the game doing his best to win the game for Antoine this week.
How bad would Dak Prescott be without Amari Cooper is the question that I want to ask.
Yeah, Dak's had really good moments, but he's also had moments where he's just not looked like a top level guy, which I've never considered Dak to be a top level QB in the league, but I've also considered him to be, you know, not towards the bottom. But Amari Cooper's just such a playmaker. He can go up and catch balls that aren't thrown perfect. He can go behind his body, make a catch, and just pick it up from anywhere around him. So he makes Dak look a lot better.
Yeah, and, you know, I still remember when that trade happened and just thinking that it was just the stupidest thing that they could have done. You know, the Raiders trading away Amari Cooper. And I didn't really think that he would succeed well in Dallas, but he has just been amazing. I mean, one of the top wide receivers. He's so good for that team. And like I said, I think that Dak would be a lot worse without him. I don't think that you'd see good numbers there at all.
I will not argue with you.
Speaking of turds in Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott, 6 points, 47 yards. That hurts.
Well, I mean, Minnesota's got a great defense. So, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, but Ezekiel Elliott's just so talented, fast, and explosive. It's just hard to see him not getting more than 47 yards, even playing against Minnesota's defense. And I don't know who you attribute that to, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott just not getting it done, or if it's his line or coach calling bad plays. But that's he's had a couple lackluster weeks in a row. That only ran for 13 points against the Giants last week, and then comes into Minnesota and runs for 6 fantasy points. So. Gotta hope.
Yeah, I don't know.
Antoine's hoping he turns it around, because he started off strong this year.
I don't know what's going on. I do have a question, though, and that's, at what point do you actually trust Josh Allen to play? I don't know if he's starting him this week, but he's been – Josh Allen has good legs. He runs the ball some. I like him as a quarterback, and – got it done this week against Cleveland. 24, 2 rushing touchdowns. That's where those points came from. And 266 yards through the air. Matt Ryan, on the other hand, is starting quarterback. 182 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Only 14 fantasy points.
Yeah. I know next week Antoine definitely starts Josh Allen against the Miami Dolphins. So
I would hope so.
You start him there. Matt Ryan, he's is he hurt right now? Is something going on? Because I know you got all the Kaepernick stuff going on in Atlanta right now.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's not got to feel good being the quarterback, and they're going to bring in Kaepernick to try out. So there's a bunch of question marks there.
That sucks. He's got an ankle injury right now. Atlanta's all banged up.
Yeah. You just go with Allen and let him go. I mean, he's been consistent enough for a quarterback that, you know, not having one of the higher tier quarterbacks. Which, at the same time, when I say that, Aaron Rodgers had 9 points. So if you're not Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, I guess, you know, you're not guaranteed to get those points.
Yep. Robert Woods for Los Angeles Rams. Apparently, he's the only player that decided to get some stuff done that week in that tough matchup. So he had 7 for 95, 12.5. Robert Woods has still not caught a touchdown all year, and has had really bad weeks, had good weeks. Don't really know what you're going to get with him each week.
No, it's the Cooper Kupp show. Robert Woods is pretty much just feeding off the crumbs that, you know, Cooper Kupp does not get. So,
yeah. All right. Last matchup from week 10, me versus Colton. I was a pretty big underdog coming in here. Honestly, didn't think I had a chance at all coming up against Colton this week. Even towards about halfway through the first couple of games, I didn't think so either. He had Mark Andrews going off for 20 points. But I ended up winning 120.5 to 96.5.
Yeah, the pillow fighters put some bars of soap in the pillow this week.
Yeah, got some points, got some big boy points up there with the rest of the league. Contribute a lot of that to the San Francisco defense. 19 points. Lots of defensive plays. Will Lutz getting me 10 points. Got to have those kicker points. They're very important.
Absolutely. Daniel Jones, did you pick him up off of waivers before?
Sure did.
Before this game? That worked out well.
Yeah. There's a couple other guys that I wanted over him, but then he was still there and threw him out there, and he had the biggest game of his career. So thank you, Daniel Jones. Actually, no, it looks like he had more touchdowns this game, but 308 for 4 touchdowns, 30 fantasy points. That was the main camel there that I was hanging out on top of carrying me.
You love to see it.
I do. Indeed, I do.
Your running back situation, however, you don't love to see it.
That Philip Lindsay on a bye, and then Devonta Freeman going out. He's out for a couple weeks, and, Matt Breida, yeah, the running backs on my team are looking slim. And that's kind of been the theme of my whole season, is I knew coming into this year with the way that I drafted that I was going to be, that it was going to be hard to find good running backs and make stuff happen. And somehow I've been able to squeeze by with just crappy running backs. Freeman on a bye this week, or Freeman injured this week, really hurts. I don't know. I think I'm starting Tariq Cohen this week because Burita is also out. It's a tough world for the Pillow Fighters running back game.
One thing I will say about Cohen, which I know his future matchup, was I had him on my team a while in the trade gate scandal with Patrick Mahomes that happened early in the year, and he consistently sat on my bench in a flex spot and got his projections. And sometimes he'd get a touchdown and go a little over for you. So he's at least consistent on sitting right around what he's projected to get. So congratulations on that pickup.
Yeah, if he can get me 5 to 7 points, I'm okay with that. As long as he doesn't give me a dud, then I think I'll be okay with the rest of my team pulling the weight.
I really like Jamison Crowder on your side of the ball. I think the one Jets game I watched this year, they threw it to him a lot, and he seems to be the guy out there in New York for the Jets.
Yeah, he really is. I'm really surprised that he was sitting on waivers when he was, and that I was able to pick him up, because his playoff schedule is great. Matchups going forward are super juicy. Washington, Oakland, Cincinnati, Miami.
In addition, I also believe, I guess the number two guy, Anderson, I think he's still questionable right now with an injury. So, even more targets for Crowder. So that worked out even better.
Yeah, I actually dropped Robbie Anderson for Jamison Crowder whenever I saw Crowder on waivers, and scooped him up. Another big guy, or not a big guy, but a mediocre player that has continued to be mediocre all season, that it's a new addition, is Devontae Parker on my team. Like you said, getting those projected points a little bit more, 8.5 this week, and he's just so consistent.
Yeah, I don't trust anything with the Dolphins, but I guess that you have to have somewhat of playmakers in each position, and if you find the one that they're going to go to,
I guess you can
rely on them.
Yeah, look at his points. I trust him. I trust him going forward. And then in the playoffs, you've got Philadelphia, the Giants, Jets, and Cincinnati. Looking pretty good. I'm really excited for those two wide receivers to be on my team, on my Frankenstein team here that I've just created.
Those playoff games are juicy, which is something that I've looked at, and it's, of course, a discussion for another podcast. But some of my matchups for playoffs, assuming I hold on to get in, are pretty scary matchups on Prospect, so not looking forward to having to deal with those. But
yeah, that's subject to change, so I guess we'll see whenever we get to that point. I've also got Evan Engram that is injured through an Eric Ebron. Sure, got it done, 7.5.
Yeah, whenever you have an injury, if you can manage more than 5 from a guy that you just have to plug and play off an injury, I think that's all in all. He'll take that.
Yeah. And I was also pretty proud of the Deebo Samuel play. A lot of that, he had 15 fantasy points, 8 receptions, 112 yards. A lot of that has to do with Emmanuel Sanders going out. But I think that he was set up to have a pretty good game anyway that week.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Deebo Samuel. So I don't want to get started on a nonsense trying to put something together, but I mean, it looks like just looking at what he's done this year, he's either had a double digit game or he's put up 2.5 points. So you got him on a good week.
Yeah, this is his breakout week for sure. And it was just kind of a flyer play. I had Josh Reynolds in there all week, and then Sunday morning I made the swap from Josh Reynolds to Deebo Samuel, and that helped me out a ton. All right, Colton's side here. I think what hurts him the most is Drew Brees, only 11 points, 287 passing yards, no touchdowns. The quarterback battle here just kind of made things decided.
Yeah. And, you know, who goes into this game thinking that Atlanta's going to beat, you know, the Saints 26-9?
Yeah.
So you can't really – I mean, anybody that has Breeze in this matchup is going to play him. So it's not like anything could have been done there. But, yeah, 30 points to 11 points for quarterback, you're putting yourself at a deficit just off the first matchup between quarterbacks here.
Yeah, Drew Brees has been pretty good since coming back. Had the bye week last week, and yeah, like you said, you don't expect that. It's a good play, but bad luck there on Drew Brees. Nick Chubb, 116 yards, no touchdowns.
He's a workhorse.
Even with Kareem Hunt in the game, still getting it done.
Yeah, if Baker Mayfield gets it together more, that's going to open up things for Chubb.
For sure.
And I don't know what his playoff schedule looks like, but if they can get it together at all, which they're beating the Steelers right now, but that's not much of a testament. You know, Chubb's production could go up even more as far as what his fantasy value is.
He's got a pretty good schedule. Miami, Cincinnati, and Arizona, but also has Pittsburgh, so that sucks, and Baltimore, which also sucks. So, more good than bad, but still some tough ones in there. With the Browns, OBJ, 7.5, or 5.5.
You know,
5.5 or 7.5.
He just, I guess he attracts all the attention, which as a owner of Jarvis Landry is worked out nice for me this year, but
yeah,
it's rough when you have these high-end, high-paid, flashy receivers, you know, and they're just not able to produce. How many touchdowns does OBJ have this year? One touchdown? Yeah, he has one touchdown.
One touchdown in week two.
To the Jets.
Yeah, and that was his biggest game of the year, too.
And lots of mediocre games, just scattered. 8 points, 3 points, 2 points.
Yeah, he's been disappointing. Glad he's on Colton's team and not mine. Like I said earlier, though, big play. Mark Andrews, 6 receptions, 53 yards and 2 touchdowns. They just kept throwing it to him. And he just would not chill out. So that's what kept Colton from having a dud week. Pretty scary when he was doing that.
Devontae Adams, 7 receptions, 118 yards, 14.5. That's a bright spot. He's a touchdown, you know, away from having a really good game. So that's a good sign to see that he's getting back involved and, you know, getting targeted and making the most of his receptions.
Yeah, I mean, he's. I think you can safely say that he's back now, and there's not really a whole lot of concern about if you start him or not, or, you know, Colton's had to die on that hill for, you know, quite a few weeks now, and it's good to have him back before the playoffs. So you mean confident there. All right. I think that's going to do it for matchups. We're going to do a matchup of the week real quick and then get out of here. So this week, let's see. Let's pull it up. What are we doing? This week, we are going for the matchup of Logan versus Farris. Both of these guys are at the bottom of that other division at 4-6, both trying to climb out of the Diggy Bowl, trying to get into see some daylight away from that stuff. Got a couple guys playing on Logan's side of the ball here with Pittsburgh's defense right now with only 4 points and Boswell with 0. Missed a field goal and made one extra point. So, trust in Pittsburgh again. Look where we're at.
Yeah, it's a – you never want to have 2 slots on Thursday Night Football and have 4 combined points. I mean, granted, it is only the kicker and the defense, but still not a good start.
Yeah, so let's see. Let's kind of look at guy to guy here and see if Logan can still pull it out when being projected 12 points under.
Let's do it.
I like Hunter Henry this week. I think that you'll get he. I think he'll beat. You know, if we're going matchup to matchup here, I think that he definitely wins on the tight end side with Darren Fells, which is kind of a total flyer play. Which,
yeah, I think that's an easy check mark to put on Logan's side for tight end.
Yeah.
What do you think about the going back to the top to the quarterback spot? You got Derek Carr playing Cincinnati and Seamus Jameis at New Orleans.
I think that they're both going to score a ton of points. and that's going to be a battle. If I had to pick one that I would want to start, I would probably pick Derek Carr over Jameis Winston. Just because of Cincinnati, and Derek Carr can still get it done. And Cincinnati's bad. They're just bad all the way around. I trust Derek Carr in that matchup. But also Jameis Winston makes crazy stuff happen and scores lots of fantasy points.
I think to move down to the next, to the RB1, I think Le'Veon Bell definitely has the edge playing Washington compared to Gurley going up against Chicago's defense.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Disagree?
I would agree with that because we've seen what Gurley's been doing. We've seen where the Rams are at, and they're not in a good place. And I think that you'll get an average game from Gurley that you've been getting. You know, your 7 to 10 point games, which is fine, I guess. Not for one of your top draft picks, but Le'Veon Bell against Washington is going to do better than that. You know, he'll be back up there with where he's been the past two games, like 14 and 15. And then we've got Mark Ingram on Logan's side and Ronald Jones on Forrest's side. This one I'd probably give to Ronald Jones simply because of his consistency as of late. And Mark Ingram will probably have a good game, but I think that, you know, we've had Lamar Jackson still stealing away all the points. And
yeah, it's going to be the Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson show in that game.
Yeah. Oh, I cannot wait for that football game.
It's going to be a great football game.
And it's going to be so awesome. Can't wait. Highlight of the week for me. Keenan Allen, Julio Jones for Forrest, and then Kenny Golladay for Logan. I think that I like Julio more, but this one's close. Logan's also got Marvin Jones starting again. He's rolling out both the Detroit boys.
Is Stafford? I thought his injury was a little bit more serious. Was that just a one game? That he's going to be out, or is he going to be back for this week? Logan must know that he's going to be back, because that's a ballsy move starting both of them with the backup quarterback. Unless
he's not back, when you look at the rest of Logan's team, I still think that those two guys, and then you look at what they did last week with Driscoll, it's possible for both of them to still put up better points than the other guys that are on Logan's team.
Yeah, looking at his bench, I would agree.
Maybe taking one of them out for, I don't know. I was going to say
Mike
maybe
Williams against Kansas City.
Or I was going to say Chris Conley, but you got Nick Foles coming back this week, and we don't know how that's going to look. So that's a difficult play. I think he's got the right guys in there.
I guess you would call this the safe and conservative play.
Yeah, sure. I do. Christian Kirk in San Francisco just had a monster game. Now you've got the San Francisco defense. He's not doing that again. You know, you've hit the ceiling there, and you're coming back down to the floor in this matchup.
Yeah. We probably still see normal numbers. He may catch five or six passes for 50 or 60 yards, and if he gets in the end zone, it's a bonus. But I think playing him at a flex spot, you're happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially going up against a San Francisco team that just took their first loss, and they're not going to be looking to lose another one at home this week. So.
And then for Forrest, I like Julian Edelman against the against Philadelphia's secondary, which is still bad. And, you know, he is still essentially the main guy in New England. And I think that he outperforms Christian Kirk.
Yeah, you can. Julian Edelman and Tom Brady, they have a connection. And like you said, against the Eagles defense, he should have a good game. It wouldn't surprise me to see him with, I'm going to make my call of the week and say Julian Edelman will have 8 receptions for 112 yards and a touchdown.
Ooh, that's a big game. we'll see. You heard it here. See how that goes. Finally, Chris Godwin. I like the matchup. And, you know, you're stacking him with Jameis Winston. So that could be major points there. Or it could hurt you a lot. I don't know.
I think this is the deciding factor. If Chris Godwin goes off, Forrest wins this game.
Yeah.
Because in turn, he'll have Jameis Winston points and stacked on. So if Chris Godwin goes off, Logan takes the L and Forrest comes out victorious this week.
Right. So, with all that said, who do you got? Who are you picking in this matchup?
Well, going off what I just said with Chris Godwin going off, I'm actually still going to go with Logan because I think New Orleans is going to bounce back this week against getting beat and have a better game. And I think I like Logan's matchups a little bit better. So, I think it'll be close. Logan 115.5 and Forrest 112.
Yeah, that's a good. I would agree with that. I think it really, honestly, we didn't really talk about it, but it really might depend on how Washington's defense and his kicker does. I think Washington's defense could be below average. You know, the Jets can get things done, and maybe Lev Bell can score a lot of those points. But I'm with you. I'm going to go with Logan. He's the underdog. I think that he can still pull this out. Even though I said Christian Kirk is not going to be at his ceiling, I still think that he'll have an okay game. And that's really the only one that I'm worried about on Logan's side. Maybe one of the Detroit guys. And on Forrest's side, he's got a few that I don't really trust. And so that's why I'm going to go with Logan for the win. So we'll see what happens here. We're both in agreement. But
I think this was definitely a good one to have as matchup of the week. Close, looks like close projections. They got pretty even matchups across the board. Some are better on one side, some are better on the other. And like you said, they're trying to climb out of that hole and get themselves into a position where if the cards fall far up and the stars align, they can find themselves in the playoffs instead of playing for that wonderful, wonderful, hideous trophy called the Diggy.
Yeah. We'll see. We all want that jacket, but all right. We are winding things down. What are your final thoughts on week 10?
It's good to see everything getting closer. All the records getting closer makes it more competitive. The group me has been so active, it's hard to keep track of, and I'm getting tired of losing. So I'm tired of putting up points and losing. So I'm going to start cracking Miller Lots and pull a page out of the Colton Sullivan playbook before too long.
Yeah, that hasn't worked for him so far. So let's
I may need to try cracking Keystones instead.
Yeah, stay tuned for that, I guess. Anyway, we're gonna wrap it up. That's going to do it for us here tonight, for me and for Hayden. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.